Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ramkrishna Forgings Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Nizan. Good morning, all participants, and thanks to Ramkrishna Forgings management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. We have the management represented by Mr. Naresh Jalan, Managing Director, Mr. Chaitanya Jalan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Lalit Khetan, ED and CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Mundhra, Company Secretary and Senior General Manager, Finance. Over to you, Jalan sir.
Good morning. This is Lalit Khetan. A very warm welcome to everyone present on the call. We hope and pray for the safety, health, and security of you and your loved ones. Along with me, I have Mr. Naresh Jalan, our Managing Director, Chaitanya Jalan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Rajesh Mundhra, Company Secretary, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. Hope you all have received our investor presentation by now. For those who have not, you can view them on the stock exchange and the company website. We had a good fiscal year with revenue increasing by 77% over FY21 due to a strong recovery in the CV industry from the impact of COVID-19 and efficient order executions. We were also able to sign new businesses across segments and geographies, keeping our order book healthy. Our EBITDA margin increased by 521 basis points over FY21 due to improved capacity utilization, various cost-cutting initiatives, increasing automation, and incorporating latest technology into our manufacturing process. We also completed our expansion plans, and we are ready with a capacity of 187,100 tons. During the year, overall capacity utilization was about 77%, which we believe will improve in next couple of years, resulting in operating leverage benefit. When compared to FY21, our export sales increased by 96% and domestic sales have increased by 66%. As we get deeper into the customers by increasing content per vehicle. We have introduced new products, added new customers, expanded into new geographies. As the economy improved, we resumed sales to South American markets, allowing us to expand our export business. We also saw strong demand for Europe, which led to de-risk our export plans from the United States. In Q4 FY22, we managed to bag new three contracts aggregating 144 crores. During the entire year, we bagged new businesses worth 984 crores from 18 contracts. We received PPAP clearance and confirmation from a European OEM for a multi-year order. Our new Jamshedpur fabrication facility was approved by one of the leading European OEMs in the mining and earthmoving industry, resulting in the start of serial production. This facility also enabled us to expand our presence in the railway sector, which is an important component of our diversification strategy. We have commissioned our warm forging plant and which began shipping product samples, and this will enable us to add new products to our baskets. Furthermore, to expand our global reach and strengthen customer relationship, we have opened new offices in various geographies. These new offices, which will be added to our existing offices in United States, Mexico, and Turkey, will allow us to pursue our aggressive strategy of increasing our export business even further. While talking about the industry dynamics, despite fuel inflation, chip shortage, and geopolitical concerns, the commercial vehicle industry remains optimistic about its growth prospects due to favorable growth drivers. Aside from the e-commerce boom, increased activity in road construction, mining, and improved infrastructure spending by the central and state government added the CV industry growth in 2021-22. Medium and heavy commercial vehicle sales increased by double digit as a result of increased fleet utilization levels caused by increased economic and infrastructure activity. the semiconductor shortage is likely to persist for some time. The industry has been coping by implementing alternative measures which we expect to resolve in coming quarters. However, the central government's increased emphasis on infrastructure and rural development is likely to drive demand in the CV industry. We also see good demand coming from railway and oil and gas segment during the coming period. We are continuously working to de-risk our business by diversifying across segments, customers, and geographies. We will continue to focus on debt reduction by utilizing a major portion of net operating cash flow towards debt payment. PwC has been engaged in the integration and implementation of ESG, which will be environmentally sustainable and socially responsible, and will be supported by a strong corporate governance roadmap. That's all from my side. We can now open the floor for Q&A. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. So revenues from EV is expected to grow strongly over the next few years. Can you share which products company is targeting, any order book size, and what are plans to reach the target?
I think we cannot name the product because of the policy of the company. But actually, in our presentation, if you see, we are already put in the geographies. We are already working on the programs which are going to result in these volumes. As predicted in the market in terms of total equipment sales, and accordingly we have budgeted the total volumes which we are going to clock in next couple of years.
If possible, it's for CV segment or PV segment?
It is basically for mix of three-wheelers and PV.
Okay. And so, so companies targeting to increase the addressable content per vehicle to 84% by FY27. So, which are the products companies targeting, and what is the plan to reach the target?
No, I think if you see our presentation, you will be able to visualize that when we started our journey in the auto, we started at the back of the vehicle, and now we are almost at the entire, when we are targeting, we are looking at reaching the entire platform of the whole vehicle. So that is the way we are targeting. We were one of the biggest suppliers for rear axle. Now we have got into front axle, and we are looking at complete value add, fully built front axle. And that is our target by 2027.
Okay, thank you. And so non-auto, which contributed about 19% of the revenue in FY22. So out of which 10% comes from railways, mining, construction equipment, oil and gas. So can you share what are the other 9% of the revenues?
They are a mix of industrial components, different industries. It may be from steel, it may be from cement. There are a lot of industries where we do small portion of activities which result in higher value but not volume. So in total together, this is like power sector. These are the places where we cannot exactly plot the percentage, but it is, we have kept it as others basically.
And so what would be the outlook for FY23 for the industrial segment, sir?
We are looking to maintain the same volumes and same revenue.
So next year, you see the mix should be similar compared to FY22.
Similar, yes.
And so the last question, has there been any change in the outlook by overseas CV players on account of chip shortage and slow freight rates?
No, I think if you see our exports, while these problems are there since about 3 quarters now, we have been constantly able to maintain our exports because of the breakup in the geographical segments. We believe that with addition of new segments such as South America, Thailand and other places, I think we will be able to maintain the same growth. Maybe some country specific it goes further down, but we as RKFL do not believe that our overall portfolio is going to decline in terms of exports.
So also basically there's no change has happened recently, right, in terms of a demand outlook by OEMs?
No, there has been demand, but changes by the OEMs, but we cannot reflect on a particular OEM who has changed. But in overall, if you see country specific or our journey in exports, we have been able to grow or maintain the same levels despite these challenges already being there.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that there must be some inventory correction over next few quarters. So what kind of impact would be there, sir?
No, we do not foresee any impact due to any of this, and we, as projected, we will continue to grow. And we have never said that there is going to be an inventory correction. Because the build rate is so slow, I don't think there is any built-up of inventory at the export platform.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. And I must congratulate you. Some of the cost-cutting measures that I can see in the line items, they are really impressive. I was expecting quite a bit of hit on your P&L, but you guys have managed costs very well. Sir, my first two questions are on costs itself. Sir, is there any component of the RM pricing which has not been given as a pass-through by your clients and which we can expect going forward? And what would be the impact of gross margins on that, because of that? And a related question is on fuel. Can we expect these prices as a percentage of revenues to be constant going forward or get slightly better? Is this the peak fuel costs that we have seen?
I think in terms of peak fuel, we are trying to make some changes in terms of our usage. Converting lot of our internal capacities, moving out from usage of gas and furnace oil or LDO to electricity. So I think you will be able to see this year lot of these things happening by which it may not happen in the next quarter itself, but over the whole year, you will see that a lot of actual fuel usage going down and electricity usage increasing, by which I think we will be able to save huge both on cost in terms of fuel, as well as we will be saving RM because of the heat loss.
Okay, brilliant, sir. And sir, on RM cost, is there any component of the normal pass-through mechanism which has not been paid because of lag?
I would not be able to comment on this because I am exactly not aware in terms, because this is being dealt by marketing. But as we know, we have most of the RM is, we have a contractual obligation with all our OEMs to pass on RM with 1 quarter lag or 1 month lag. So this happens on a cyclic basis. So I think, as far as balance sheet is concerned, 99% of the RM has been captured in terms of pass-through.
Right.
But it happens in a due course. So company P&L will never get hit because of non-pass-through. It may happen with 1 lakh, quarter lakh, but it is not that it is going to have a P&L effect.
Right. Sir, in terms of additional freight that we have paid because of extraordinary rates as of now, can you quantify that number? And what are you seeing on the freight side? Because at least as far as US shipments are concerned, there are like some reports which are coming out that situation is improving. It is not as bad as it was earlier. So first of all, can you quantify the additional extraordinary freight cost that you have incurred during the year? And what is the situation as of now?
I think quantum of exact freight, I think Lalit will be able to answer this question. But in terms of availability of containers right now, yes, situation is better than what it was in the month of December. But post this war, again, things have started is becoming difficult because of the crude oil prices. The cost, what we thought will come down, we are not seeing the same happening.
Right.
But yes, in terms of availability has improved, but it is at a cost. It is not without a cost.
Right. Sorry.
Lalit, can you answer the quantum of freight cost we have incurred extra?
Yeah, the freight cost has raised in all the geographies, and the steepest being in the North America, it has gone to almost four to four and a half times up from the rates what we are paying in the last year.
Right. Right. Even now, sir, as of now. Or
yeah,
were you saying for the entire year as an average?
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost 5 times right now, more than 5 times, but yeah, okay. And the average is 4, 4.5 times.
Okay, okay, okay. And that is hitting you primarily on the export side?
Yes.
Yeah, that has eaten up some part of our margin. We have been able to recover some part of it from the customers, but entirely it cannot.
So could you quantify that part, how much you have been able to recover?
I think in the full year we have been able to recover around 60 crores from the customer on account of freight.
So I said how much?
60 crores.
Crores as an absolute number. Okay. 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 So one final question. This is on the nature of the cost we incur when we ramp up. So you mentioned that in the guidance that you have said that next year we expect the turnover to go up by 20 to 25%. I'm assuming that is mostly volume. And if you actually achieve that kind of volume growth, is the operating leverage as linear as it appears on the P&L, especially during this year, that when our utilization went up by so much, our margins expanded by 500 basis points. Can we expect a similar trajectory going forward, or will it be more of a diminishing return kind of situation?
No, I think you will be able to see still growth both in terms of top line and bottom line, but the amount of inflection which has happened of 500 basis points, it may not happen as that much. But yes, you will be able to see continuous growth in terms of overall margins, which we feel that is going to continue for at least 6 to 8 quarters.
Sir, at peak utilization, what kind of ROEs can you generate and what kind of margins? Is there a cap to it? Let's say, can you cross like 25% or 27% margins, EBITDA margins, and probably 20% ROEs? Is there a cap to the number, or you can actually, the more efficient you become, you get to keep the efficiency gains that you generate?
More efficient we become, more ROE is going to happen. We are looking somewhere in this year, you will be able to see a 20 plus ROE. I think we are very extremely positive on it, and I think going forward within this year only you will be able to see those kind of ROEs. But
great.
We can easily say that as we ride up the value add chain and as we improve our internal efficiencies, I think you will see much better ROEs going forward.
Excellent, sir. One final question which the previous participant also asked about any order cancellations, especially in North America, because the freight rates there are slightly wobbly as of now. So are you seeing anything from the OEM side?
No.
I'm specifically asking for North America, sir, not for your export markets.
I think no, I will not. I can only tell you it's a big no. We have had no order cancellations, whether it is North America, whether it is Europe or anywhere in the world. My contracts
right.
with my customers are strong, and it will be till FY24 end.
Excellent, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Great performance. One request, sir, if you can improve the quality of the P&L that you publish on BSE and NSE. The presentation is amazing, but the actual result document, the line items are not very clear. It's very hard to read. That is my only request, sir. And
no problem. We will take your suggestion on board, and we will surely try and implement whatever.
Thank you very much, sir. Your disclosures have improved dramatically. Your presentations are very, very useful, sir. So all the best, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a strong set of numbers. Going ahead, domestic revenue mix will improve. So how it will impact the overall gross profit margin of the company?
Can you please repeat the question? And can you use the handset for talking?
Hello?
You have a background noise. I think we are not able to hear your question.
Hello? Yes, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Sir, my question was related with the...
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Mr. Abhishek Jain, we are not able to hear you. There's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. So, my question was related with the gross margin. Going ahead, the domestic revenue mix will improve. So, how it will impact the overall gross margin of the company?
I think gross margin is going to remain strong. I think right now we are at a threshold wherein as our capacity utilization improves, we will continue to improve on the margin side.
So, going ahead, we are expecting that domestic revenue will outperform the export revenue. So, in that case, can we expect that margin will go down slightly?
I think in terms of our revenue mix, we still believe that we will be able to sustain 50-50 or 45-50. So I don't think there is going to be much change in the premix in terms of export and domestic volumes going forward also. And I think in terms of margins, the capacity utilization ultimately is going to decide how better we perform on our gross margins.
And Abhishek, I would like to add here, because if you look at the result for the Q4, we added a 421 crore of domestic sales and 260 crore of export sales. So revenue mix is already towards domestically heavy, but we have been able to post a decent margin in the quarter also.
Okay, sir. So in the last quarter, you had mentioned that there was a high inventory lying at your warehouses. And this quarter also, production is higher than the sales. And if we see the trend, production versus sales, so in last year, production was 32,000 metric ton higher than the sales. In that case, what is the outlook for the margin, especially when inventory buildup is high for the exports?
No, I think inventory is not high at exports. There are because the shipping time earlier from last year, if you see, the shipping time was 45 days from plant to warehouse. Now shipping time is almost 85 to 90 days. That's the reason material in float have increased. So, and that is we have to do because we are committed to maintain JIT at customer end. So obviously we will need to build in those shipping time in terms of our inventory is concerned.
During this quarter we have also seen the export realization has gone down, but while the domestic realization has gone up. So, is it because of the correction of the international freight rate that export realization is going down?
No, it's nothing to do with the correction in international freight rate. It may be minorly due, and I don't think it has gone down drastically. It is just a minor, small...
No, it is an increase by 5 rupees per kg in the quarter. It has not gone down.
And that is also because of premix. And I think if you are comparing it with the domestic, it is only because of the premix changes and all. I don't think there is any realization change across the board.
Okay. And sir, you are looking at strong revenue in the LCV side, especially from the Russian regions also. So how do you see business ahead given the ongoing war in the European region?
I think Russia was never a very big order book. It was a small order book, and I think we would not like to comment right now on that. We would like matters to settle down in Russia before we would like to comment on that.
So what is the current outlook for the European business for the FY20?
European, we continue to grow, and we, as in my earlier answer also I said, our exports are having robust growth with new order wins, new components getting added to the segment, and we continue to maintain that this next couple of years in exports look to be bright, with these those additions are concerned.
Okay, sir. And my last question is related with the current order book in this non-auto segment.
Hello.
Hello. Sir, my last question is related with the how much is the current order book in the non-auto segment?
No, we will not be able to put any number to it. As a percentage, we have already shown it in our presentation, and we believe that we will be able to grow further on the non-auto segment. From 18%, I think we will see further non-auto segment to grow further in coming years in terms of absolute percentage over revenue.
So what mix can we what mix change can we expect going ahead? Right now it is 18 to 19%. Can we expect 25 to 30% in next 2 to 3 years?
We are targeting the same. I think by next 3 years to 4 years we should be looking at close to around 75-25.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Amin Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was mainly on the cost side. You know, in terms, obviously your industry is a big consumer of power. So are we seeing any risks in terms of power availability or in terms of an increase in power costs given the kind of crisis that we're seeing in the country right now?
No, I think we are not experiencing any power shortage right now, as well as we have a systematic revision system which we have already built in the cost while calculating. I don't see any steep hike going forward uninformed.
Okay, and there are no, you know, an increase in any power availability or power cuts?
No, we are not experiencing any power outage.
Understood. Understood. That's helpful, sir. And sir, on the domestic side, given that commercial vehicles continue to be good, and you know you have also mentioned that, obviously we're seeing an improvement in volumes. But again, in terms of pass-through of raw materials, you mentioned that you know it's generally a 1 month to a 1 quarter lag. But has that changed, you know, given the kind of, you know, price hikes we've seen in commodities? Like, are customers as willing as they were in the past, or there is some slightly more delay than we are used to, you know, in the past?
No, I think for us, commodity is not a cost which we discuss directly with the suppliers. It is the OEM who directly discuss the price increases with the suppliers, and they fix up the price increases and the date, and accordingly, whenever they fix up, they inform us, and accordingly, we pass it on. So
okay.
It is basically we don't negotiate, so we don't get affected also with that.
Understood. Understood. That's helpful, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So my questions are more on the cash flow side. So if you see even if this year, like whatever cash flow we have means whatever profit we have generated, our profit is around 260 crore PBT. Whereas in terms of cash flow from operation, it boils down to 42 crore only. So because of the, I can understand, because of reason that we are growing, so we have invested heavily on capex, as it means it has got used in inventory as well as like on trade receivables. So my bigger question is that from now onwards, since you have already disclosed in your PPT that your objective is to debt reduction. So what kind of debt reduction can we expect in next 1 year? This is my first question.
We have mentioned very clearly the capital allocation. My finance team has very clearly defined the capital allocation policy for next 3 years. I think that is in line with what company feels going forward.
Yes, sir. But like historically, we have not really concentrated on like repaying a lot of loan basically. So that's why my question is rather like now onwards, sir.
I think you need to see historically how the company has grown. So obviously growth cannot come without capex.
No, obviously sir, growth cannot come without capex. Sir. But what I mean to say, since we have now disclosed, sir, so what I mean to say, historically we have not repaid a lot of loans.
Till now we are not given any capital allocation policy. And now when we have given a capital allocation policy very clearly defined on the presentation, so obviously company has something in mind which company wants to stick to.
Okay. So in that respect, sir, can we expect like what has we have seen in last year, few years historically, and what is our current policy? There is some change on that. Because historically we have not really repaid back a lot of loan, but now we are talking about repaying back of debt.
No, I think obviously we have repaid debt. That's the reason we have been able to get new debt. So obviously historically the debt has not been repaid. I am not able to understand that.
No, I'm talking about the reduction in new debt, sir. That's my objective. I'm talking about reduction in net debt, sir. It has not really whenever we have repaid loan, we have taken a loan against that also. So I'm talking about net debt, sir. The balance sheet debt figure, basically.
Hello.
Hello, sir. No, that's what I was saying. That's not my only point there.
Any further questions from you?
No, this is primary question, sir. So,
sir, I think I have properly explained. I think Lalit, can you please answer to what exactly he needs, sir?
See, we have already clearly defined that whatever we are generating cash surplus in the upcoming years, we will deploy 50 to 60% of that to the reduction of debt or payment of debt. And about 30 to 40% will be deployed towards capex and working capital. So, yeah, if there is a higher work price increase and there may be some other requirement, it may change a little bit. But my policy now we have clearly stated it will be towards that only and we will stick to that.
Okay. So thanks, sir. That clarity, I was looking for that clarity. Sir. That's the only question from my. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Akhil from VT Capital. Please go ahead. Akhil, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question is a little more broad-based. I want to understand how you are thinking from the Indian CV point of view, because we talked to some freight operators and they said that their margins are highest, they are extremely bullish on the CV cycle for the next 2 years. So internally, what is the sort of projection you are having? What sort of capacity do you plan to ramp up maybe in the future? I just want your understanding on that. Thank you.
In terms of CV, we are also in the overall segment, in domestic segment, we are extremely bullish with the amount of infrastructure spending which the government of India projects. And we are capex ready in terms of utilizing this opportunity to grow the company.
Akhil, are you done with the questions?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makharia from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just wanted your thoughts on the U.S. Class 8 cycle. You know, on the one hand, you've been saying that there is a chip shortage, so the orders are really not that strong because there's a long waiting period. But on the other hand, we hear that the U.S. infrastructure bill is getting delayed in the U.S. and also manufacturing is slowing down there. So what do you expect the Class 8 sales to be this year? And can you just separate the noise from the facts for us? Thanks.
Aditya, I think I am not the right person to, or we are not the right person to define what is happening with the Class 8. So, but in terms of overall in U.S. market, whatever we hear is that the build rate is slow because of non-availability of chips and few other components because of the pig iron shortage because of the Russian war right now. But in terms of backlogs, yes, there is a huge backlog in the system which may cover almost 8 to 10 months of the build rate at a full volume. And whatever we hear from the OEM, things are stabilizing. But if everything, if you want to know, is okay, I don't think we'll be able to comment, but I think we are seeing much green shoots in US build rate right now. And I think we will continue to see in next couple of quarters with the build rate, with the backlogs which are already there in the system.
Okay. And how much is US as the percentage of sales for you?
I think right now I don't remember, but that's on the presentation completely there, US sales, what is there? We have defined geographies very clearly.
Got it. Now, I just said it's a significant portion for us, so it sort of moves the needle materially if the Class 8 truck sales pick up, you know.
No, and we are not alone in Class 8 right now. As we speak, we are across all segments except passenger vehicle in US. Be it LCV, Class 8, Class 5, Class 7, all the classes we are there.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Raghunandan NL from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations on stellar numbers. Firstly, sir, my question was on the revenue side. Thank you for providing the revenue growth outlook at 20-25%. Can you indicate how much revenue could approximately get added in FY23 because of new orders? And also on the fabrication business, what was the revenue in FY22 and how do you see it increasing in FY23? Would it be roughly around 100 crore in 22?
No, fabrication business revenue is not much because we only started facility in the month of October only.
Mm-hmm.
And for 22, it was only fabrication turnover was in the range of around 10 crore.
Okay.
But certainly in FY23, we are looking to jump multifold.
Thank you, sir. And approximately how much could be the addition because of the new orders?
Quantify the new orders because most of the orders are in sample stage or field trial stage. So we will wait till each an order starts moving into the larger platform. So we exactly cannot predict when each component comes out of field trial and gets into larger production.
Understood, sir. And sir, is it right to assume that with the current capacity, we can go up to a revenue potential of 3,500 to 4,000 crore? And also, can you kindly indicate what could be the capex plan for FY23?
I think, Raghu, our capital allocation is very clear. In terms of specifically for FY23, we would not like to indicate anything. But overall, what we have said is whatever is our cash flow from operations, from that 60%, 50 to 60% will be paid as debt and balance 40% around we will be utilizing for CapEx for next 3 years. And the CapEx mainly will be on the value-add side, not on the net forging capacity increase. Most of the CapEx will be only on the value-add side.
Thank you, Lalit sir. The capital allocation strategy slide is very helpful. My last question, on the cash conversion cycle days, can you indicate the strategy for improving it going forward?
See, Raghu, the cash conversion, is happening on the data days, it can't help. On the inventory side, I think we have this inventory level due to the continuous increase in the prices, commodity prices. If it remains at that level, it will be optimized and there will be an improvement in the cycle. And only cash conversion can be helped if we are able to improve on the inventory and top line view. So we have to see over the period of time whether how it evolves and how the prices remains. On that, it will depend.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, as the ring rolling and forging capacity is overutilized and demand is strong, so immediate capex is required there. So how much capex you are looking in that in these two business?
No, we are not. We are looking at zero capex in this region right now. We are not adding any capacity. We are doing kaizens to improve productivity, but there is no budget right now to add capacity in ring rolling or the forging section.
But capacity utilization is already 110% in these two segments.
So, I think it is good to have a good capacity utilization. It does not predict that we need to add capacities over there.
Okay. And sir, your baseline capacity utilization is still low, around 65%. So how much growth you are looking there?
This year we are expecting this capacity utilization to move to 80% plus.
Okay, and that's why can we expect some improvement in the realization?
We are already expecting top line to grow as bottom line to grow, so obviously realization has to grow.
Okay.
And realization is not all about, it is all about how much value add we are able to bring into the system. Per ton, if the production grows up in press line, per ton realization does not go up. Per ton realization only goes up because of either commodity increase or because of value add increase.
Okay. And sir, how much revenue right now from the LCV segment?
To give a number to it is extremely difficult, sir. I think our dependence on only heavy vehicles has decreased dramatically over last couple of quarters, means I think 8 to 10 quarters. But to give a number to LCV, it is extremely difficult.
Okay. And sir, the company has signed an MOU with the US-based company, and you are developing also e-axle products. So, what revenue, incremental revenue, can we expect from this product?
No, we have never said where we are developing e-axle with any company. We have already given our EV strategy going forward and the growth and we are expecting in terms of volume in EV for next 3 years or 4 years. So that is all we would like to comment on that. We would not like to be component or component specific or geographic specific in terms of EV.
Okay. And then my last question is related with this non-auto segment. So if in last couple of quarters, we have seen that growth is not coming in the railway segment. So what is the outlook going ahead in this segment?
No, I think if you see last quarter, railway has grown very well. Over last 3 quarters, I think last quarter we have performed one of the best in railways. And I think with the railways running up in full swing, you will see this year we will do excellently well in railways.
So what is your revenue target in the railway in FY23?
Number is extremely difficult. I will not be able to give any numbers to sector.
Yes. Oh. And sir, the company has commissioned warm forging plant in this quarter. So after completion of this plant, how much would be the total capacity?
we already have given the valve forging plant already commissioned, and the capacity right now stands at 187,000 ton. Apart from that, we have the fabrication facility for the component of earth-moving mining and railway industry.
Okay, so it is already included in the 187,000.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's also my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vignesh Iyer, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is got answered. Anyways, congratulations on maintaining EBITDA margins in such a tough environment. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So what is the capacity utilization for the larger press line tons, like 12,100 or 6,300?
No, I think we don't track individual presses. I think as a whole press, we have given a capacity that close to 60% of our utilization, the press plant. And I think we don't track individual presses, basically.
Okay. And so our order book, just for a clarification, it is around 984 crore, right?
That's the new order win in last 1 year, not that's the order book. That's
so
the
that
new
will be
win and the new product on the new product. There are so that, products which continue to flow.
So this will be, this will be an annual order win, or order run rate?
No, this is the order we need to execute some orders maybe in 2 years, some maybe in 3 to 4 years, some maybe 1 year. It's depending upon the order contact entered with the customer.
Okay. And so lastly, what is the machining revenue mix in the overall sales?
We have, I think, almost reached above 80% right now in terms of revenue mix overall sales.
Machining, that is machining.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a superlative P&L performance. I have a small query on the balance sheet front. So there is a slight elongation of the working capital cycle in terms of number of days. So is it just primarily because of this increasing shipping time, or is there some color to the quality of debtors, if you can highlight?
No, basically it is only because of the shipping time, because right now we cannot take any chances because of the market and our commitment as per contract to supply on JIT basis. So we have some extra material in the boat so that we don't end up doing air shipments.
Okay, understood. And sir, secondly, if you can help me the gross debt number as of FY22 end?
So gross debt number as per the balance sheet is about 1500 odd crore, but net debt is 1336. And so Sam, just one more thing. So the working capital cycle is looking a little bit elongated because we have huge domestic sales and the major chunk goes to Tata Motor. And the sales to Tata Motor, the BMI, because it is being bill discounted and added in the data. Actually, that is not the data. So that's why it is looking like that. Otherwise, there is not a much elongation also on the working capital cycle. And net debt as on 31st March stood at 1336 crore. So, Sam.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for allowing the follow-up, sir. Just a few follow-ups. So for the guidance that you're given for next year, 20 to 25%, are you giving a volume guidance as well? Or are we just sticking to an overall revenue guidance?
We are sticking to overall revenue guidance.
Right. What would we give, like at our current gross block level, what would be our peak revenue potential? Because various facilities are at very different capacity utilizations. So can you give...
Roughly we can say that we should be somewhere anything between 3600 to 4000 crores.
Great, sir. Thank you. For the next 2 years, you said that domestic is looking good and exports is also looking good. So is there one particular geography and or one particular product where product segment which is critical for this for the coming 2 years, or have you been able to well diversify your entire product basket?
Rasta, we are able to well diversify our product portfolio, and I can safely say that we are doing extremely well in all geographies right now.
Right.
Building in new customers as well as new products. So it is not all about only one customer, it is all about new customers as well as new products. Both taken together, we are doing extremely, and that's the reason we are not much concerned on this chip shortage and the oil inflation right now.
Right.
We are looking at doing much better than what we have been doing, and last quarter result has already proved that, and it will continue to prove when a couple of quarters more results are going to come.
Sir, the growth that we are talking about, should we expect, should we just pay attention to a yearly number for the full next 12 months, you will be doing 20 to 25%, or are we going to...
I think you should look at every quarter now, and
right.
You will be able to see every quarter things are improving on quarter and quarter basis.
That's very impressive, sir. Sir, thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Nityanand, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, beyond 2023, what is your growth expectation you are having?
I think we speak, whatever market feedback or market we know, we can predict only for next 2 years. And beyond that, I think it is extremely right now, we cannot comment on beyond that. It will be extremely volatile if I start commenting on 3 years or 4 years.
Okay. And next question is, with the current capacities, how much growth is possible? What do you think?
I have only answered the last question from the last investor, that with the current gross block what we have, or work in progress, we are safely to say around 36 to 4,000 crores we can achieve in next 3 years.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. If you require any further information, you can get in touch with us or our investor relations advisor, Strategic Group Advisors. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.